Cause some ice to melt.
But not nearly as much as the two forces combined. That's what's really put us where we are today.
This moment of science comes from Indiana University.
Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear with help from James Overland at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. I'm Yael Cassander.
And I'm Don Glass.
In sports, Ken Griffey Jr. returned to Cincinnati's starting lineup this afternoon in Philadelphia for the first time in four games. The 38-year-old outfielder, who is one homer shy of the 600 plateau, didn't start the previous three games against the Phillies because of general soreness, including a bothersome left knee. And he has yet to hit that 600 plateau. The Reds were shut out today by Philadelphia, the score 5-0. A number of day games underway today. In the AL, it's Toronto 7, the Yankees 6 in the top of the 7th. Baltimore leads Minnesota 3-2 in the top of the 8th. Back to the National League, St. Louis is leading Washington, the Nationals, in the bottom of the 8th inning, 4-0. That's the first game of a day-night doubleheader. Two nights after failing to finish off the Penguins on home ice, Detroit captured the Stanley Cup with a 3-2 Game 6 victory in Pittsburgh, the Red Wings' fourth title in 11 years is the 11th in franchise history. After a lengthy wait, the Celtics and the LA Lakers open the best of seven NBA finals tonight in Boston. It marks the 11th time these two franchises have met for the championship, but the first since 1987. Let's look at sports.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Eastern Rug Gallery, offering a wide selection of guaranteed hand-knotted Oriental and Persian rugs of every size and color combination, from new to antique, to complement any decor. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign.
It's 2:42. A new survey from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reveals how high school students are handling everything from sunscreen to sex. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
Does it surprise you that less than 10% of teenagers wear sunscreen in this country?
No.
The 10% figure comes from the CDC's latest survey on teen health behaviors and refers to the percentage who say they use it regularly. Seventh grader Alexa Zelliger is about to turn 13. She says lots of girls just want to be tan, even if it means getting a little sunburned.
You always want to make like the right decision, but then also you have like another rebellious side of you that, or just the side that, you know, it's kind of a social thing.
Going along with the crowd, Zelliger's teacher, Jason Rosenbaum, says it's a struggle for teenagers to think through all the possible consequences of their actions. In the case of sunscreen, the risk of skin cancer may seem too remote to be real.
The balance between immediate gratification and safety are definitely a struggle.
This holds true for all the decisions that teens go on to make about everything from alcohol and drugs to sex and tobacco. And the CDC's survey on teen behaviors covers them all. Every 2 years, researchers are able to get about 14,000 ninth to 12th graders from all over the country to weigh in on all of their most personal decisions and behaviors. Their responses are kept anonymous. Glenn Flores is a pediatrician and professor at the University of Texas Southwestern. He's reviewed the survey.
Teens constantly face temptations in every part of their life.
And in some spheres, teens are making good choices. Take, for example, tobacco use. It continues to decline among teenagers, though just slightly. About 1 in 4 students report using some kind of tobacco. In other ways, the CDC survey shows that many teens are still taking risks. Flores says, take sex, for example. The survey found 1 in 3 high school students are sexually active, and 61% of them report that either they or their partner use a condom. This is a slight decrease from the rate of condom use reported 2 years ago. Flores says for parents who are concerned by these statistics, evidence suggests that it makes good sense to talk early and often to your kids about sex.
There are studies that document that when a teen reports that they're able to talk to their parent about sexual issues and have good communication with their parent, that they're less likely to be sexually active and that they're more likely to use condoms if they're sexually active.
Flores says the reproductive health information that teens or preteens get in school seems to be important, too. Advocates for more comprehensive sex education say teens today just aren't getting enough facts. James Wagner is president of Advocates for Youth.
Right now, the best estimate we have is that around a third of school districts in this country now have an abstinence-only approach. Another third have kind of a mixed bag, that there may be some reference to condoms or birth control, but not a very systematic or comprehensive approach.
So it's the remaining third that are getting the comprehensive approach where abstinence and birth control hold equal sway. Wagner says without accurate information on both, the risks that young people are taking may increase. CDC officials say they're not sure why sexual activity rates are going up a little bit and condom use is going down a little bit after major gains in both categories in the 1990s. They do say if trends continue, they will get concerned. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
The Great Lakes might be the most ignored resource on the continent. Great Lakes advocates say they have not been able to get enough attention or money from Congress. Rebecca Williams reports that one group is outlining what needs to be done to fix the Great Lakes before climate change makes things worse.
Washington, D.C. is a long way from the Great Lakes. Most members of Congress don't live near the lakes, and many don't understand just how big they are. Don Scavia used to work for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in Washington.
I've spent 15 years inside the Beltway, and I just know that the Great Lakes just don't have the same sense of urgency and importance inside the Beltway as some other places like the Chesapeake Bay and others have. Senators and congressmen don't have boats on it like they do on the Chesapeake. I think it's a matter of if you haven't been here and you haven't seen them, you really don't get it.
These days, Don Scavia is a scientist at the University of Michigan. He's a co-author of a report on global warming and the Great Lakes. He says we need to help the Great Lakes adapt to the changes that are already happening because of global warming.
The restoration strategy is put in place specifically to increase the resiliency of the lakes, increase the buffering capacity of the lakes to allow them to adapt to this near-term climate change.
Just about everyone around the Great Lakes has noticed that water levels are dropping. Recreational boats can get stuck. Big cargo ships can't get into harbors, and they have to carry lighter loads when lake levels drop. That means more trips for ships and, eventually, higher prices for all of us. And climate change might make it worse. On top of that, the Great Lakes are struggling with fisheries collapsing, invasive species damaging the ecosystem, and pollution that's never been cleaned up. Jeff Skelding is with the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition.
When the Great Lakes effort began, you know, we had a lot on our plate to deal with. And then as we started looking at the science of global warming and its impacts on the Great Lakes, you know, it kind of froze us in our tracks. Now we've got global warming to contend with.
So what do the advocates want from Congress? There's a $20 billion price tag on Great Lakes restoration. Bits and pieces of it have gone before Congress, and there's been some progress on money for things like restoring wetlands. But for the most part, most of the time, the Great Lakes just haven't been a priority in Washington. Rahm Emanuel is a congressman from Illinois. He holds a leadership position among the House Democrats. He says he hopes the money will be approved by Congress sometime soon.
I don't want another study. I don't want to pay for another analysis. I'm overstudied over your analysis. We know what it takes to fix it. We know what the pollutants are. Now we've got to put our money where our mouth is.
Politically, the time might not get any better for Great Lakes advocates. There's a census coming up, and new congressional district lines will be drawn. The Great Lakes region will lose representation in the U.S. House. That means the Great Lakes states will lose clout in Congress. So the region's members of Congress need to get a Great Lakes restoration package to the next president before that happens. Great Lakes advocates are hoping the next president, whether it's McCain, Obama, or Clinton, will give the Great Lakes more attention and money. For the Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
United Airlines has announced it is removing 70 planes from its fleet. It's also shutting down its discount carrier called Ted. From Denver, NPR's Jeff Brady reports.
TED was launched in Denver with great fanfare in 2003 as a hipper airline with a little bit of an edge to it. But it didn't take off with customers, and United employees were even less enthusiastic, according to David Field with Airline Business Magazine.
I do recall what United employees said. Well, what's TED? Oh, it's the end of United. Or it's United without the U and I.
United isn't talking about the change. A written statement says simply the airline is eliminating the TED product. The 56 Airbus planes in the TED fleet will replace Boeing 737s in the regular United fleet. David Field says grounding the 737s is a good move.
It's an airplane that basically was designed in the 1970s that just is a pig on fuel and isn't really big enough to make money anyway.
United plans to cut between 9 and 1,100 positions from its payroll. That's on top of 500 previously announced. Among those departing, Senior Vice President Sean Donahue. He was in charge of TED. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
And Continental Airlines is the latest big airline to announce job cuts in the face of soaring fuel prices, calling it the worst time for the industry since September 11th. Continental is cutting 3,000 jobs and reducing capacity by 11%. Its two top executives will forego pay for the rest of the year. The job cuts represent nearly 7% of the company's workforce of 45,000. In a statement, the company said it plans to offer details on flight and destination reductions and eliminations by the end of next week. High gas prices are worrying the tourist town of Branson, Missouri. Branson is nestled in the rolling hills of the Ozarks. It's more than an hour's drive from the nearest commercial airport, so most tourists come by car or bus. The town is so concerned about revenues that it's trying all kinds of ways to entice visitors to fill up their tanks anyway and head on over. Missy Shelton of member station KMSU reports.
You know you've arrived in Branson when you see bumper-to-bumper traffic lined up along Highway 76. Families with small children packed into SUVs and senior citizens who roll into Branson in tour buses are the bread and butter of this economy. Many come to see attractions like the Titanic Museum that boasts actual artifacts from the ill-fated ship. Inside, a stewardess, calling herself Janie, is decked out in a long black dress, white apron, and cap.
There are only 9 life vests in the world. We have 3. That's one. We don't know who that belonged to, but these are very, very valuable.
Among the museum visitors today are Rebecca Sibelka and her husband Brian, who drove here from Oklahoma City.
We actually found a certificate online on a Branson website, and that certificate did give us a gas discount for our trip home. And I think it said it was 35% off each gallon of gas.
That's just one of several discounts available to drivers. Because so many Branson visitors come by car, the Branson Convention and Visitors Bureau is offering a Gas Busters program. In exchange for a $40 or more gas receipt, tourists receive a discount card good at more than 100 businesses. But even with this promotion, some area businesses expect the high gas prices to affect their bottom line. Steve Presley is co-owner of Presley's Country Jubilee, the oldest show on the Strip.
We think it will have an impact on our business. We're looking for things to hopefully be level with what they were last year. It's hitting everybody's pocketbooks, and so we think they will be cutting back. Our audience normally comes from all over the United States, and I think we will see them coming from a lot closer because of the gas prices.
There's also a concern about how the gas prices will impact what tourists do once they arrive in Branson. Maybe it means they won't stay as long. Saving money was on Dorothy Snyder's mind as she was looking for bargains in downtown Branson at Dick's Five and Dime.
Tell me what you were doing in here. You were shopping?
Buying birthday cards because they're only a dollar. So I saw some other things in there, but I didn't buy them.
Dorothy Snyder says the high gas prices didn't keep her from making the trip to Branson, but now that she's here, it does change things a bit.
You look for a place that's a little less expensive to stay in. You look for the bargains while you're here. It affects everything. We're watching our pennies.
Besides offering gas-related discounts, Branson has altered its marketing plan. The town bills itself as being within a day's drive of more than one-third of the country's population. But the driving part is exactly the problem when gas prices are this high. Lynn Berry, director of public relations for the Convention and Visitors Bureau, says ads for Branson used to run in Chicago and Dallas, but not anymore.
We have drawn our marketing efforts in this year. As a matter of fact, we're advertising particularly in the new target markets of Champaign, Illinois, Omaha, Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, Iowa, and Shreveport, Louisiana.
Even with high gas prices, Barry is optimistic there will be some